What's up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae, and we're super excited to be hanging out with you guys today.
On today's episode, we're going to kind of keep it with the same format of what we've been doing. We call these segments Cruise the News, where we kind of scan the internet, finding all the newest and latest pickleball news, check out some forum posts, kind of see where the engagement is, and just talk about a bunch of buzz-type pickleball topics. So do you have anything, or do you want to hop right into it?
Let's hop right in.
Everything you want is right here. We gon' give them what they came for. We gon' take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
We're going to start out, and I want to talk about line calls. Okay, so this is going to be relatable for people that just play amateur rec nights. Obviously, you might have come across people who make bad line calls. Also, in the pro scene, this is a big buzz topic right now. I don't know if you watched the latest pro tournament this last weekend, but in women's singles, there was quite a bit of drama that happened. Did you see this in the bronze medal match?
I saw like some snippets. I didn't watch the full match.
Okay, so brief overview. This tournament was in Atlanta. It was coming right off of the MLP or the team event, and they dealt with some weather issues. Mm-hmm. And so with the PPA dealing with some weather issues, they were moving championship court from outside to inside. Mm. Now, I heard that the PPA did a really good job kind of getting championship court moved and set up. However, when the games were played inside, there was no option for video replay. Mm. So what they were doing, especially in these women's singles matches, is where I saw it the most. And I also saw it some in women's doubles. The women are just dramatic, I guess. But
uh-oh. We're going to get comments on that. I'm team women.
Yeah, me too. But they were requesting for extra referees to be line judges. So they had four referees, two on each baseline, staring down the sidelines to be extra line judges because they couldn't challenge.
They didn't have the video replay is what you're saying.
They didn't have the video replay. And so in women's singles, in the bronze medal match, Leia and Salome were playing. And when the game started, Leia had, three calls in a row overturned by the refs.
Wow.
So she called the ball out. Salome then asked the line judges and they said, no, that ball was in. Leia was then very upset because she felt like the line judges saw it wrong. Mm. So in other words, this has just been an issue in pro pickleball. And not only Leia was just involved kind of in a lot of drama, but not only in singles, but in the women's doubles semifinals, it was Andrea Coop and Jade Kawamoto versus Leia and Callie. Mm-hmm. And the game ended on a questionable line call. And so I found a post here on the kitchen that got a lot of engagement. Basically, this guy says, Andrea, referring to Andrea Coop, worst line calls without instant replay intentional? Bad calls, but one was at match point. This is unacceptable. PPA needs to be better prepared for weather issues. It's pathetic. A semifinal cannot be played without challenges. They can't let this happen. Mm. So basically what this guy's saying here is he's saying that we can't have this happen in this sport. We can't have matches where there's actually money on the line, where players can call their own lines and there's no repercussion or there's no way to challenge it with video review. Mm-hmm. All that being said, I know that was a mouthful. What are kind of your thoughts on where pickleball has come in terms of line calls and refs and instant replay? And what do you think's best for the sport?
So obviously there's like two different things we have to think about, right? There's amateur and then there's pro pickleball. To my understanding, you're asking kind of about pro pickleball and where that's going.
Yeah, I would ask both, but like, let's start with pro pickleball.
Yeah. So I mean, it is really difficult because I do think that pickleball, you guys, there's actually a lot of money in pickleball. Like the players are getting paid very well. Well, if you're in the top, so many players, you're getting paid very well. And the repercussions of winning and losing like actually really matters. And so I think from a professional standpoint, I do think that it needs to get better. And what's interesting is even we laugh about this because if you guys have watched any of the pro pickleball streams, even when there is challenges, dude, the it looks like the video's on a iPhone camera. I mean, the quality's
it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Horrendous. And so even some of the video replays, I'm like looking at like a blurry picture. It's like crazy to me. And so I think I'm all in the camp of like, they got to spend some more money, in my opinion, and get higher quality cameras to that are just watching the lines. Because the reality is there are game deciding shots, you know, that make a big difference. I mean, every point matters when there's 11 points on the board, you know? Yeah. So I understand that there's frustration from a professional level. What's hard too is you have to remember this, not every match is on a court that has videos or refs.
Right. So like it's the matches that count, but what about all exactly. the what about all the matches leading
but
up to
what
that?
What about all the matches leading up to that? So I understand like from one side of it, I'm like, dude, we need better cameras. Like we need to spend more money. We need to have clear line calls, but also that's two courts we're talking about. There's 12 courts. There's 20 courts pros are playing on that don't have anything that rely on one ref. And let's just be honest. Like I know people like drag out these refs, but I'm like, I think they're doing their best. I think we're asking them to do an impossible job and be able to see every line for what it is. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know a big topic that I've kind of heard, you know, within the pickleball world and beyond, there's this big question, is pickleball a real sport? Is pickleball a legitimate sport? I've even heard, you know, will pickleball ever make it to the Olympics? Things like that. And I think that there's certain things that legitimize a sport and make it, I mean, I believe pickleball is a real sport, but I think to the general public, there's certain things that would kind of legitimize the sport. I think when you're able to gamble and bet, I think that that's a big part of sports nowadays and of viewership. And how are you able to bet or gamble on pickleball when players are calling their own lines, when there's no definitive answer? And, you know, even beyond that, if we're going to try to take this thing to the Olympics, what do you do when it's the gold medal match and it's USA versus Japan?
Dude, you better hope that camera's 4K is what you got to hope.
And Japan's like, nope, it was out. And Japan takes the gold. And then you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's got to be some technology that comes into play.
They got to spend money on it. That's the reality. They need to spend the money on it. But like we said, it's hard when you're like, well, do we do that for all 20 courts that pros are playing on? Like,
right. And it's just like, but how do you, like what other sport out there do you have the players actually making the line calls, making the calls and determining the outcome of the game, you know, where is there, or I've also heard some talks like, do you think there should be penalties if players call the ball out and it actually gets overturned? Do you think the players should get penalized?
I've heard that. I've heard some pros say that there should be some penalty. I think that's an interesting repercussion because it will force you to not be generous towards yourself. I'm like,
but I think
I kind of like that in some ways.
I also think the downside to that too is that like I know that I've missed calls before. Like I legitimately am like I clearly saw that ball out, but my partner was like, no, the ball was in, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna defer to you. I thought it was out, and like I think that there are some balls that it's just like you could find people getting penalized for something that they legitimately were trying to call it.
Yeah, correctly. And I agree. I don't think everyone can do it perfect, but what it does is it sways you to err on the side of I'm positive that was in or out, you know? And I think that's what a penalty in that sense would create, this, because that's how, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm like amazing at this, by the way, but I try to call my calls so that I'm more generous to the opponent than I am to myself, because I want to make sure it's 100% in. But you guys, it's hard when there's money and sponsorships on the line. That sways people. It has to sway people.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I've never been in that position, so I could see it being more of a pressure on that side of things if I was a pro, you know, not saying that that should justify it, but I'm saying there's just more pressure involved in those shots. So,
and going back to like the pro player, Leia Jansen, her kind of journey at this tournament was, she, before this bronze medal single match, she had felt like she'd kind of gotten the short end of the stick in a women's doubles match where she felt like she was shafted on a call. So there's built up emotion. And I think there's times where the pros kind of feel powerless because they're like, okay, the video replay got it wrong. The mm-hmm. judges got it wrong. Mm-hmm. The player got it wrong. Like, they just want it to be fair.
Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, I even kind of relate it to umpiring in baseball. Like, there's an umpire behind the plate. And part of what makes baseball interesting is that when you're pitching, sometimes an umpire will give you a little bit, the strike zone will be expanded a little bit on the outer part of the plate. And if it was just a digital robot calling the game, people would walk more. There wouldn't be this like kind of ambiguity that creates this humanness in the sport, you know? So I don't know. It's just interesting because you don't want to get too strict with it, but you need more technology. You need, you need more consistency in order to legitimize this and take this as far, you know, for pickleball to have the biggest ceiling, it's got to be cleaned up, you know? Yeah. And I think that's what people were saying on this particular forum post was like, were the players intentionally, that's what this guy said on this post, was Andrea Koop intentionally calling the ball like hooking calls because she knew there was no video replay. And that's just kind of crazy.
Like, that's hard. You can't really go into people's intentions, but it, like I said, I understand that there's way more pressure on the professional side of this because, you know, people are feeding their families. Like, this is their career.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? But like, guys, we want to know in the comments, like, do you guys have any solutions when it comes to line calls? If you were nominated to be the head of pickleball, of the head
of line calls,
head of regulations and rules in pickleball, what solutions would you have to this? Is it just a technology issue? Is there any other solutions that we could have to make this game just be more fair? Because I think that's what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
We need to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. If you're already watching this episode on this app right now, thank you. But if not, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Cool. Should we go to the next one?
Yeah. Ooh, heavy topic to start it off.
I know, spicy.
Okay. So this next topic, we're going to bring it up a little bit. Has to do with paddle tapping. So I don't know about you guys, but the very first time I was taught how to play pickleball, like the right way in a group setting, I remember literally part of my lesson of learning the game was they were like, at the end of every game, you go to the net and you tap, you know, you paddle tap with your opponents.
You taught me that.
I know, because I was taught that.
Yeah, I know.
So I just always thought that was like a really funny and quirky thing.
If you guys didn't know, Danae actually taught me, like when we first met pickleball, she kind of taught me how to play. So
he's indebted to me for life.
I am. Yep. Wouldn't be here today, literally.
Yeah, literally. You would. Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't. So you're welcome. But that being said, this next is on paddle tapping. Okay. And so we'll put the picture on the screen for you guys to see, but there's a picture of Annalee Waters, who is the number one women's player in the world, and Leah Jansen, who had just played their first game of singles together. They had two more games to go because it's best 2 out of 3, I believe.
Yep.
And Annalee has her paddle out like she is going to paddle tap Leah, and Leah's just walking by her, not tapping paddles. So the caption here says, "Do you blame her for not wanting to tap paddles between games after the GOAT, greatest of all time, pickled her on her first game?" So this had a ton of engagement and comments, and it just goes to show, like, you know, what do you think about somebody not paddle tapping? And Leah's been vocal about this before. I don't know if you heard her speak on this, yes or no.
I think I might have heard briefly. I didn't. Okay. Was it on a podcast?
It was on a podcast. So Leah had said something along the lines of, don't quote me on this, but it's along the lines of, at halftime in a basketball match, you don't go around and you handshake your opponents.
I know Riley Newman also has commented on this.
Riley Newman
as well.
Is another pro player who's commented on this before and kind of said something similar, like, the match isn't over, meaning that there's another game or whatever to be played,
right,
to decide who wins. Like, why tap paddles before that's decided? And so, yeah, that's kind of the debate. People are like, is it rude to not tap paddles? Like,
yeah.
Is it not sportsmanship? Like, what are your thoughts on the paddle tap?
Well, obviously the paddle tap is there because pickleball is a social game. It's basically like saying good game. Like, that's basically what I equated to. I think it's very different when you're talking about the pro scene versus like tapping paddles at like a rec night or an amateur event. You know, at a rec night, I'm like, yeah, let's tap paddles. Like, there's maybe not much on the line. But also in these pro matches, I think they're playing series. They're playing best 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And I think the paddle tap is great for the sport, but I actually am in the camp. I'm like, if it's game one's over and we still have a game two or a game three to play, there's no need for us to tap paddles.
Really?
I don't think so.
Do you, but in tournaments, you tap paddles?
I think I do it because it's socially acceptable. That's kind of, but I'm saying, like, personally, I agree with like a Leia or a Riley. I think we should tap paddles at the end of a match. Mm-hmm. But at the end of a game, if I get beat, because in this example, Leia got pickled, which means she got beat 11-0.
Right.
So what are you saying to the other person? Like, thanks for beating me. Like, good game. Thanks for beating me 11-0. Like, I think even from a mental perspective, like, to say mentally strong and engaged, I want to say like, oh, this isn't over. You know, I'm not. And it almost feels like tapping paddles is like a sign sealed, delivered to me. I mean, I'm just like,
are you going to tap paddles in between our games in the next tournament we play?
That's a good question. I haven't thought about that.
I'm going to videotape you and see what we do.
Honestly, you know what? I will tap paddles at the end of the match, but probably not. I don't know. We'll see.
This is the first. I'm excited to watch you handle this.
I mean, I might, if they like walk up to the net and like hold out
most
their paddles.
I have never played a team where they haven't walked up to the net and held their paddle out. Never. Once in a tournament.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be rude for the sake of being rude, but I think, you know, actually I changed my mind. I probably will tap the paddle because I'm not like some pro player that's going to move the needle, you know, but if you're asking me what I think makes sense.
Yeah.
I think absolutely let's tap paddles at the end of the series, but not in between each match.
So you're saying for pros it makes sense, for amateurs it doesn't?
I don't know. I don't really know exactly like if there's a clear right or wrong answer. I think personally, I don't think it makes much sense to tap paddles after a win or a loss when we know we're about to play another game.
But you will tap paddles for the sake of not being rude.
Yeah, like I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to go change the rules or the unspoken things. It is interesting though, like that was very much taught to me. That was taught to you, and it's kind of ingrained in the culture. And I'm cool. I like the quirkiness of the pickleball culture.
I personally love it.
I'll always have paddles. Even if I like lose pretty bad. I don't like to lose PS. I'm very competitive. But I like the paddle tap. Even if I, you know, lost, like I might not have the peppiest paddle tap, but I don't know. There's something about like, it
let's
that
say,
I like.
Let's say we're playing in an upcoming tournament. Yeah. You know, obviously let's say our first round, we lose game one, like, and I just like walk to the bench or something.
Dude,
and
I would
water.
Feel so
and
awkward.
I'm not going to like, I don't know. I'd feel a little weird leaving you.
Yeah. I would feel awkward if you just like ditched me and then I'm there to like paddle tap both of
them. So I'm like, I don't so think like, it's, I don't think game. It's worth like me feeling like a jerk, but like I'm saying like, it makes sense, right? Like it makes sense. Like the game's not over. Like let's.
No, I think logically it makes sense. I think I personally, I love the paddle tap. I really do.
I mean, we'll see guys. We'll let you know what happens. Yeah. We'll let you know if I'm a paddle tapper in between games.
But I would love to hear what you guys think. Comment below. What do you think on the paddle tap issue? Amateur pro level. Do you think paddle tapping in between all the games is just a necessary thing? Is it not sportsmanship like? Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I would love to hear what you guys think.
Cool. Want to go to the next one?
Let's do it.
Okay. This is more of just like a general topic, but it did come through on the Pickleball Forum Facebook page. And it has to do with rally scoring versus traditional scoring. Basically, it says this. 2 days ago, it said, rally scoring is better because it penalizes bad shots more and makes you play smarter. So let's set this up real quick. So for those of you that don't know, there is a team format that's been introduced to pickleball. It is Major League Pickleball, where there are teams of four. There's also some minor league or amateur team events if you've never played in one. I actually personally haven't played in one either, but Danae loves it.
I freaking love them. They're so fun. So I highly recommend.
So it's on my, you know, it's on my bucket list, you know, so I want to play in a team event, but rally scoring is most common in team events. I think one of the reasons it's most common in team events is because with rally scoring, you're typically not going to have these crazy long extended games. Like you're not going to have games that last. Like you could play a side out scoring, traditional scoring game to 11 that could last 45 minutes and another one could last 5 or 10 minutes, right? So with rally scoring, the games move at like a similar pace and it helps you get through more games, which is why I think it lends better to the team format. But what this guy's kind of referring to is, you know, in rally scoring, if you miss a serve, it's a point for the other team. If you miss a return, it's a point for the other team.
Even if you're serving, like everything counts. There's always a point. It's like volleyball.
Yeah. So everything counts. You don't have to score on your serve. You can score when you're returning, which really makes you at an even more of a disadvantage when you're serving than in traditional side out scoring. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts? I know that you like the team format, but as far as the game of pickleball, do you like rally scoring? Or do you like the traditional side out scoring?
I like traditional, like hands down. I like traditional more.
Why?
So it's interesting. I know someone's going to comment this. So I know that Real Stats came out with their statistics. Real Clear Stats came out with their statistic on how it ends up the same. For me, I like traditional scoring because mentally it feels different. In the sense,
what do you mean by that?
In the sense that, you know, rally scoring almost makes you mentally feel like you have to hit perfect shots because everything either hurts you or helps you. Traditional scoring, I feel like for me mentally, I can play a lot more loose and a lot more risky.
Which you like that.
Which I like and is my play style.
You like to initiate.
I play a lot more risky in the sense of I like to initiate shots. I like to play faster. And I feel like that lends its strength to traditional scoring over rally scoring.
So what the originator of this post says, though, is he says that rally scoring is better because it makes you play smarter.
I think it makes you play safer. I think you can still play smarter with traditional scoring. For example, like there are specific times where I won't lob. You know, I typically won't lob people if I'm on defense. I'll typically lob people if I'm on offense. You know, there's
and rally scoring, you doesn't really matter when you lob somebody.
Doesn't matter when you lob. It's just better be a good lob. Yeah. Like, you know, so I don't know if it makes you play better. I think it makes you play safer. But again, Real Clear Stats came out with that study where it said it doesn't matter. But it's interesting. I think mentally as a player, I like traditional scoring more. What about you?
I think playing it, I like traditional scoring more. I do think rally scoring can make it more interesting to watch because I think comebacks are easier. I think games
are closer.
Typically closer. So I think viewership-wise, it can be a little... Mm-hmm. Personally, viewership-wise, for me, I still like traditional side-out scoring because I think it really shows us who the better team is. I think in rally scoring, you can have a team that maybe isn't the better team, but they end up pulling it out because they go on a run.
Yeah.
And they capitalize on errors. And I think in traditional scoring, I think you really see who the better team is. But I also think for the general public, I could see how rally scoring would make it more entertaining for the sake of viewership. However, I think traditional scoring lends better to, like, if you were going to introduce betting, sports betting.
Yeah.
Because I think lines are too hard to create. Money lines are too hard to create in rally scoring because it's really hard to tell.
It's so volatile.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, MLP, Major League Pickleball, who is kind of coined with establishing the rally scoring in the sport, is they're even going back and forth with the rules on, like, okay, it's 21, freeze at 18. That was the first version. Then it was 21.
The first version was there was a freeze at 18, meaning
that the team that was behind, if the team that was winning got to 20, then the team that was behind had to freeze at 18, and then it goes back to traditional scoring. It's kind of confusing. So,
and then they changed it.
Then they changed it to freeze at 20.
Yeah.
And then this last event, they did race to 25.
Right.
And then
No freeze.
And so
I like the freeze. I like the freeze at like 19 or 20. I think
18's just mean.
Yeah.
I think
18's like, doesn't really matter who's up because comeback's way easier.
So I think here's the thing. I think for viewership, I think the freeze at 20 is a must. I think it's a must. It keeps things very close. It's very easy for teams to come back. It's really easy to keep off game points. I think the race to 25, we saw that there was less, you know, interesting games because there were more what we could see blowouts, right? But like you were saying, I think traditional scoring really actually shows who's the better team, not just who got lucky.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I don't think rally scoring is all luck, but I think it does. I think it does force you. I think certain players I've noticed watching the pro scene, certain players play better. They play looser. They play, you put them in a rally scoring environment and they're just not as good, which I think is also interesting. I think certain players, they are better at rally scoring because they maybe make more balls and take less risks. That's more part of their gameplay style. So we want to know from you guys though, what do you think? Have you played rally scoring? Have you ever played a team formatted event? If you have, what do you like better? Do you like rally? Go ahead and comment the word rally if you like rally scoring below.
And tell us why.
Yeah. And comment the word traditional or side out if you prefer side out scoring or the traditional way of scoring. We'd love to kind of hear what you have to say. So guys, real quick, this is the point in our episode where we typically do a Q&A. We had quite a few comments come in on our last episode, but I don't think any of them were questions. I think it was a bunch of just opinions.
Which we love.
I don't know if you guys haven't checked it out. Check out our latest episode. We talked about the hot paddles and the controversy of paddles getting banned. And one of the questions we asked in that episode was, what are some ways that we might see pickleball change or evolve? Do we need to change the game or do we need to change the technology? We referenced an idea that came in on our latest episode of what would it look like if they changed the kitchen line, like they extended the kitchen 6 to 12 inches. How would that change the game? And a bunch of people were talking about it in the comments. It was interesting. Not many people were in favor of changing the kitchen line. However, I did see some people talk about changing the height of the net. Like, what would it do if you raise the net up a little bit? Would that slow the game down? And the majority of people said, make a softer, squishier ball, which was interesting to me. What are your thoughts on that? I don't really like playing with soft balls. Like the mushier the ball, I like a hard ball. So that was hard for me to swallow. But
then you still have this problem of now some paddles are super hot and some are not. Can you imagine hitting a super soft ball with a super control paddle right now? I mean, that would just be terrible.
Yeah. It's just interesting to me. Like basically this whole, what people were talking about in the comments, what we were talking about in the last episode was what's going to happen. Are paddles going to get regulated or are they going to make other changes to pickleball because the game is changing right now? And is this the best thing for the game? A lot of people think it's not. A lot of people think it's getting less safe and the rallies aren't as long and paddle technology speeding up is changing the game in a negative way is kind of what I'm seeing in the comments. But there are the people out there that like how the game's getting faster. So just interesting. If you guys have any thoughts on that, we'd love to hear in the comments below. Let us know, what do you think is going to happen in terms of pickleball? Will the ball change? Will the paddles change? Will the size of the court change? What would you do? Let us know in the comments below. And guys, please, 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 if you have any questions or anything you want to submit for our Q&A section, which is this time of the episode, please submit your questions below. Send this to a friend. Send your questions in and we'll make sure we try to get them answered on the next episode.
I love it.
Cool. Got anything else?
Got nothing else.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. And we will see you on the next episode of the Pickleball Connection podcast.